Well, Lord, I thank you for the fun times that we have together. I thank you, Lord, for the warm weather you're moving into our area here. I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be warm tomorrow. Sun's going to shine. We're going to have a good time outside. And Father, I just praise you for it. Lord, I ask for your anointing tonight on the conference call and everybody that's involved, Lord. I ask that we do whatever it is that you want us to do tonight, Lord. We want to be led by your Spirit. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that a lot of revelation, a lot of camaraderie, fellowship, and love is just coming forth from everybody. Lord, I just thank you for all my brothers and sisters. It's just a treat for me to come on every night that we can, every Tuesday and Thursday night. And I just thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for everyone here, and I ask that you bless them, provide for them, and protect them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless us tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Okay. What about a prayer request? Anybody got a prayer? I don't think of any. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to pray for my in-laws.
Okay.
Lord, we pray that as you move them over here slowly, that you would guide them, you would protect them, you'd keep them from any danger, Lord, and your angels round about them, Lord, and direct their vehicles, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tim and his family's headed this way. They'll probably be here probably Monday.
Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
I thought I muted. Oh, I stopped my video. I didn't stop the microphone. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. David knows.
Yeah. Okay, he'll be praying too. All right, thank you, Lord, that they're going to get here safely and not wore out in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, you're changing now Blake's heart too. He'd be right behind him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
All right. Well, I could use a little prayer myself. And well, speaking of, glad you brought that up, Matt. So I was talking to Denny and Debbie actually the other week. Debbie, but yeah, Denny, you know, you probably found out there. Lord willing, you know, when I brought up a couple weeks ago, you know, Debbie was asking me, you know, do you feel peace about God moving you down there? You know, I mean, I've kind of thought about it at times. Because, I mean, some of the recent struggles I've had, you know, and she was saying this is like a perfect example of you, it would be better of you being down there. So you know, let's pray about that. You know, she's saying, well, just keep praying, you know, until the Lord gives you peace about it, then you'll know. Because I can't say I have 100% peace, but I'd like more prayer for that, you know. Just, I mean, you know, the Lord wouldn't want me down there, you know, then he'll make a way, of course.
All right.
And personally, or yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Joe to you.
Yeah.
And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you place in him when it's time for him to come down. Or even if you want him down here, Lord, you may have another spot for him. I don't know, but that's up to you and Joe. And I ask that you open up doors and shut the doors that you don't want him to go in the name of Jesus. And let man. And Father, I just ask that he absolutely is sure about where he's going, if he's going anywhere. And I thank you for it, Father, for what you're doing in Joe. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Praise God.
Amen. All right.
Was there something else you wanted to pray about?
Yeah, I could use some physical strength for, you know, just the day ahead tomorrow. And, well, you know, I guess it's kind of a climax from where I started out this week. I think I remember telling you I got some good revelation, you know, when I had that talk on Sunday from Willie.
Yeah.
And that was like an answer to a couple prayers of mine. You know, I guess God deal with that self-life in me. and, you know, revelation about the Antichrist spirit, and then, you know, just some good revelation about, you know, some struggles lately. And today at work, I left early, you know, only spent about 6 hours at work. I was quite frustrated, got, you know, the attacks were pretty heavy. And when I usually just get frustrated and I, you know, find myself, you know, reacting by yelling at times, I mean, physically, I just feel drained. So, I mean, thank you, Debbie and Diddy, for praying for me earlier. I feel a little more energized, but I had a pretty major headache. Decent headache earlier, and just physically I feel like drain and fatigue, you know, when certain kind of attacks like this come on. And so yeah, I mean, I could use some prayer to get through the day tomorrow and just strengthen me physically.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I want you to raise your arms because God's fixing to infuse you with some strength. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just praise you for Joe. I thank you, Lord, for giving supernatural strength into his body. Yes. And supernatural energy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I just praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, he is an open and willing vessel right now. And I thank you, Lord, that by faith he's receiving it right now in Jesus' name. Isn't that right, Joe?
Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you. You have gotten it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for myself. Y'all going to pray with me, believe with me? Y'all better shake your head a little bit. All right. Father, I thank you for taking all this stuff out of me. All the stress and tension and physical being just completely almost immobile from fear. And I thank you, Lord, it's gone. It was gone last night, but I thank you for continuing on, Lord, to just to get it out of me and put me in the rest. And Father, you know what I'm talking about. Put me in the rest that everything is going to be fine and that you are on the throne and not the enemy. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to take care of business. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I feel better. I don't know about y'all, but I feel better. You know, y'all remember that YouTube thing where it said, I just love you. He's talking in plants, next strawberry, and then flowers. I just love you. I just love you, Joe. You go ahead and grow up now. How big an old boy are you anyway? I know. Yeah, well, I love you, brother. So that's, thank you, Jesus. I just love everybody in here. Y'all love me? Okay. Okay, look, yeah, Joe says a little bit, baby. Joe Britt. Okay. All right. Does anybody else got something they'd like to pray about? How about a praise report or a testimony?
I'd like to, well, go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, George.
I just want to pray that everybody is quickened in their walk with the Lord and just locked into the path that he's got for us as the body of Christ, and that all of the blessings, every good promise that we're going to, as we read the Bible, that they're just going to jump out at us and we're going to claim them, and God's going to give them to us, and God is going to overcome us with blessings and power and wisdom and provision and everything that we need to a sick and dying world, and all of the body of Christ and the harvest that's going to come in, that God has chosen to put us on this path, this wilderness journey, so that he could trust us not to pray for the lust of our flesh, but that when he pours his blessings through us, that we'll just be a conduit of heaven to bring heaven to earth in a way that he'll get all of the glory.
Amen.
And everybody around us will say, praise God. They won't say praise any individuals, but they'll say, praise God. My lifeline, my prayers are answered. I'm understanding wisdom. It's going to be duplicated. The people that we are helping to supply for from heaven are going to walk even faster in what we've been striving for. They're going to be multiplied and duplicated and discipled and mentored. And the harvest is just going to come in like a flood of the right people, the ones that God's called to be rooted and grounded in love, and that there's not going to be any more faction. There's not going to be any more splitting or comparing ourselves to one another or jealousy or strife, but there's going to be the unity, just like the oil that poured down off Aaron's beard. There's going to be such a unity that there won't even be a question anymore. It'll just be hearing the voice of the good shepherd and having that one shepherd to lead the one flock, which is his body. We are going to walk in that, and it's coming soon. So I speak expectation, and I speak preparation, mental preparation, to take everything that we've learned, to be ready to put it all in practice, to speak only good words. We're not going to speak folly, but we're going to speak life, and we're going to take advantage of every opportunity to destroy the works of the enemy and set feet on paths of righteousness. In Jesus' name. And all our families are coming in under the blood. We are sanctifying influences. And the Lord has given us everywhere that our foot shall tread, and we cannot lose because he has already won, and he wants us to be full of joy, and he wants us to experience 100% victory, and he's called us to walk in 100% victory like we've never been able to even think or ask. And as we see it coming, we are going to think and ask for more. We're going to expand our imaginations to go for it. We are running our race, and we are attaining our prizes for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Everybody said amen. That's a great prayer. Thank you, George. That was awesome. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got something to add to it? Okay. Yeah, Missy.
Well, we were talking earlier about what I wanted to read, and there were some things in there that he said that made me think of what this is that I want to read, a portion of their spot. What?
Right there, where my thumb's at.
Where?
Where my thumb's at. Where my thumb's at?
Oh.
Right there, where my thumb's at. Finger's at.
Yeah, that's just that scab.
Honey. No, it ain't.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, honey. It's that scab that's almost coming off.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
No.
He thought he found something on fudge. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. I thought we were going to sit out there for a minute. I didn't know. I was just.
I didn't hear what you said. Probably.
Well, praise God. Praise God.
Okay. Anyway.
Cool. Go ahead, Missy.
But anyway, what George was saying, there are a couple of things that came to my mind when he was saying about coming down from heaven, it made me think of what a beautiful name, that one part that's my favorite part. It says, you didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down. My sin was great. Your love was greater. What can separate us now? That's just made me think of that. But anyway, so I don't know if you want me to read that now or if you want me to wait.
Let's wait just a few minutes to see if anybody else has got a testimony or prayer. And probably just in a minute we can do that. Anybody got a testimony or a praise report or anything? Well, Missy, why don't you go ahead and read that? Go ahead and read that. That'd be fine.
Okay. Can you hear me all right? I'm loud enough now. Okay. Well, this is from chapter 4, or you could say day 4 of the book from Andrew Murray called Abide in Christ. And this one has 31 days in it, like for a month, just like Waiting on God had 31 days. But anyway, this is what he had to say. And this just pumped my faith up, really encouraged me. And and I think when I get to the one part, it'll catch you. You'll see how the one part relates to what George just said. Okay. It's 3 pages, but it's a smaller print. So anyway, bear with me. Help me read this, Lord, and not stumble over it. Okay. It was in connection with the parable of the vine that our Lord first used the expression, abide in me. That parable, so simple and yet so rich in its teaching, gives us the best and most complete illustration of the meaning of our Lord's command and the union to which he invites us. The parable teaches us the nature of that union. The connection between the vine and the branch is a living one. No external temporary union will suffice. No work of man can affect it. The branch, whether an original or an engrafted one, is such only by the Creator's work, in virtue of which the life, the sap, the fatness, and the fruitfulness of the vine communicate themselves to the branch. And it is in the same way with the believer too. His union with the Lord is no work of human wisdom or human will, but an act of God, by which the closest and most complete life union is effected between the Son of God and the sinner. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The same Spirit that dwelled and still dwells in the Son becomes the life of the believer. In the unity of that one Spirit and the fellowship of the same life, that is in Christ, he is one with him as between the vine and branch. It is a life union, and that makes them one. The parable teaches us the completeness of the union. So close is the union between the vine and the branch that each is nothing without the other. Each is holy and only for the other. Without the vine, the branch can do nothing. To the vine, it owes its right of place in the vineyard, its life and its fruitfulness. And so the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. The believer can each day by pleasing to go. Sometimes the way he words stuff, the believer can each day be pleasing to God only in that which he does through the power of Christ dwelling in him. The daily inflowing of the life sap of the Holy Spirit is his only power to bring forth fruit. He lives alone in him and is for each moment dependent on him alone. Without the branch, the vine can also do nothing. A vine without branches can bear no fruit. No less indispensable than the vine to the branch is the branch to the vine. So is the wonderful condescension of the grace of Jesus, that just as his people are dependent on him, he has made himself dependent on them. Without his disciples, he cannot dispense his blessing to the world. He cannot offer sinners the grapes of the heavenly Canaan. Marvel not. It is his own appointment, and this is the high honor to which he has called his redeemed ones, that as indispensable as he is to them in heaven, that from him their fruit may be found. So indispensable are they to him on earth, that through them his fruit may be found. Believers, meditate on this until your soul bows to worship in the presence of the mystery of the perfect union between Christ and the believer. There is more. As neither vine nor branch is anything without the other, so is neither anything except for the other. All the vine possesses belongs to the branches. The vine does not gather from the soil its fatness and its sweetness for itself. All it has is at the disposal of the branches. As it is the parent, so is the servant of the branches. And Jesus, to whom we owe our lives, how completely does he give himself to us and to us, for us and to us. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works shall he do. All his fullness and all his riches are for you, believer. For the vine does not live for itself, keeps nothing for itself, but exists only for the branches. All that Jesus is in heaven is for us. He has no interest there separate from ours. As our representative, he stands before the Father. All the branch possesses belongs to the vine. The branch does not exist for itself, but to bear fruit that can proclaim the excellence of the vine. It has no reason for existence except to be of service to the vine. This is a glorious image of the calling of the believer and the entireness of his consecration to the service of his Lord. As Jesus gives himself so wholly over to him, he feels himself urged to be wholly his Lord's. Every power of his being, every moment of his life, every thought and feeling belong to Jesus, that from him and for him he may bring forth fruit. As he realizes what the vine is to the branch and what the branch is meant to be to the vine, he feels that he has but one thing to think of and to live for, and that is the will, the glory, the work, the kingdom of his blessed Lord, the bringing forth of fruit to the glory of his name. The parable teaches us the object of the union. The branches are for fruit and fruit alone. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The branch needs leaves for the maintenance of its own life and the perfection of its fruit. The fruit itself it bears to give away to those around. As the believer enters into his calling as a branch, he sees that he has to forget himself, to live entirely for his fellow men, to love them, to seek for them, and to save them. Jesus came. In other words, Jesus came to love them, to seek them, and to save them. For this, every branch on the vine has to live as much as the vine itself. It is for fruit, much fruit, and that the Father has made us one with Jesus. Wondrous parable of the vine, unveiling the mysteries of the divine love, the heavenly life, of the world of the Spirit. How little have I understood you. Jesus, the living vine in heaven, and I, the living branch on earth, how little have I understood, how great my need of, but how perfect my claim to, all his fullness. how little understood, how great his need of, but also how perfect his claim to my emptiness. Let me, in its beautiful light, study the wondrous union between Jesus and his people, until it becomes to me the guide into full communion with my beloved Lord. Let me listen and believe until my whole being cries out, Jesus is indeed to me the true vine, bearing me, nourishing me, supplying me, using me, and filling me to the full to make me bring forth fruit abundantly. Then I will not fear to say, I am indeed a branch to Jesus, the true vine, abiding in him, resting on him, waiting for him, serving him, and living only that through me, too, he may show forth the riches of his grace and give his fruit to a perishing world. Amen. It is when we try thus to understand the meaning of the parable that the blessed command spoken in connection with it will come home to us in its true power. The thought of what the vine is to the branch and Jesus to the believer will give new force to the words, abide in me. It will be as if he says, think, soul, how completely I belong to you. I have joined myself inseparably to you. All the fullness and the fatness of the vine are yours indeed. Now, once you are in me, be assured that I have a whole, be assured that all I have is wholly yours. It is my interest and my honor to have you be a fruitful branch. Only abide in me. You are weak, I am strong. You are poor, I am rich. Only abide in me. Yield yourself wholly to my teaching and rule. Simply trust my love, my grace, my promises. Only believe I am wholly yours. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. What came to my mind, I have to tell you, is Song of Solomon 2:16, where it says, I am my beloved's and I am his. You know, it just came to me. Anyway, what do you say, O my soul? Will I hesitate longer or withhold consent? Or will I not, instead of only thinking how hard and how difficult it is to live like a branch of the true vine, because I thought of it something I had to accomplish? Will I not begin to look upon it as the most blessed and joyful under heaven? Will I not believe that now that I am in him, he himself will keep me and enable me to abide? On my part, abiding is nothing but the acceptance of my position, the consent to be kept there, the surrender of faith to the strong vine still to hold the feeble branch. Yes, I will. I do abide in you, blessed Lord Jesus. O Savior, how unspeakable is your love. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That's Psalm 139:6. I can only yield myself to your love with the prayer that day by day, you would unfold to me something of its precious mysteries, and so encourage and strengthen your loving disciple to do what his heart longs to do, indeed, ever, only, wholly, to abide in you. Thank you, Lord. That is just so encouraging.
Yeah.
Faith building.
Yeah. Reading it and listening to it and meditating on it is awesome. It's an awesome way to do that. That's out of Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. It's a good book. I've read it a couple of times. I enjoy it. Well, thank you, Missy. Do you have any comments on what you just read?
Me? I mean, wow.
Okay, we have a complete commentary there on that little chapter.
You know, I have a couple notes. I mean, I already said the one thing about Song of Solomon, but it's the one part where it says, there is more, as neither vine nor branch is anything without the other, so neither anything except for the other. And what just came to me is that everything I do needs to be for the Lord. And there's scripture I'm trying to think. I can't think how the scripture goes, but basically, you know, that's basically the gist of what it says, but I can't think how it goes. But anyway, but that we do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do to the glory of God, you know. I think that's what I'm thinking of. But anyway.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, he doesn't use the words in this, but you see by what he said, it's talking about the Great Commission too. It's a Great Commission, but he explains about, you know, abiding in the Lord and just resting in him and believing that he's doing it all. And that our sole purpose is to be, you know, bearing the fruit. And that fruit is just Jesus. And sharing that fruit with others, sharing Jesus with others, you know. And so that the Lord has more fruit. In other words, born again believers, and then they bear fruit then too, you know. So,
amen.
You know, he didn't, you know, the Father didn't desire just one son. He wanted many, you know, like in Romans it says he was the firstborn among many brethren, you know. So anyway.
Amen. Anybody else got something on that? Now, you know where that's taken from, don't you? Where's my Bible? Y'all?
Hmm?
Abiding in Christ?
Well, that sure sounds like what I learned earlier with what Willie, you know, the revelation you got for me and Sean and, you know, me. Yeah, you know, the time. It's, I mean, out of Christ, we can't do anything. You know, when you look to yourself, you know, and you continue to follow the flesh, you know, in regards to, you know, what we were thinking. I mean, you know, reading the scriptures, prayer, stuff like that. You know, I mean, believing in the healing. You know, you really, you know, you rely on that self effort. You basically reject God's grace. You know, I mean, and it's kind of what you're saying. You know, apart from the vine. Or I mean, as a branch, yeah. Apart from that main source, that vine, you can't do anything. So I mean, ultimately, it's God's grace that is going to do everything for you. Is what I got a better understanding. I mean, I was just like, you know, before I used to think, oh, God's grace, okay, yeah, great. You know, it's great. You know, but no, it's like that's it. You know, God's grace. God's grace is what does it all. And the only way you're going to get that is in the Christ. You know. It's not from you. So I mean, being in the vine, I believe that's what the vine is. Christ, you know, abiding in Christ, or the branches, you know, and we're in Christ. You know, we get everything from abiding in Christ. And so yeah, you know, it kind of connects with what I learned. You know, it's like in your own efforts, your own fleshly ways, you can't do anything. You know, and I mean, it's kind of, I was getting so frustrated. I'm like, why isn't it happening? You know, where's my desire? Why is it such a task to read the Bible? It's like, because you're trying to do it on your own. you know, you don't have God's grace to see these things manifest in your life. You know, you're not abiding in the vine. So therefore, yeah, you know, you're not going to bear any fruit. You're not going to bear anything. So, yeah.
I'd like to, has anybody else got something they'd like to say about that? Let me read John 15 for you, see if this doesn't line up with what you just got through talking about. I see some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I am the true vine. And this is all in red, by the way. You know what it is when it's in red, don't you? That's when Jesus is talking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, that's us, that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleans it, that it may bear more fruit. Already ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except ye abide in me. So what's he telling us there? We're the branches, he's the vine. That's what Missy was talking about. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, okay, I'm going to stop right there. What does that mean? What is abiding in me mean? What's he talking about? Well, come on now. Who's the word? Isn't that Jesus? That's Jesus. So if we abide in the word, we're bearing fruit, right? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But John 15:7 says, there's a condition there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Boy, that's a great promise right there. So if we're abiding in the word, and we're learning what the word says, and we're learning how to walk in faith that Jesus is doing all this work in us, then what's going to happen? You're going to see Jesus, aren't you? You're going to see Jesus in it, because every time you read the word, you're going to change. You're going to see yourself. Wait a minute now. I've been doing this a different way. Let me repent and get back on the road here. And then when you repent, you've overcome. You go on straight. You're abiding in Christ. Every time that you see something in there that contrary to what you've been doing, you repent, get back on the road, and you're abiding in Christ, right? You're overcoming. And God's put faith in you to believe that when you see those things and you understand those things are not going to be a problem for you anymore. Lord, I thank you for your overcoming power, right? I thank you, Lord, that these words are going inside of me. And when I need them, when the time comes, when that devil starts coming after me, I'm going to know and I'm going to speak and I'll have authority. And the power of God will cleanse me with that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. Herein is my Father glorified. That's how we glorify the Father. Ain't nothing else glorifies the Father more than us bearing the fruit of Jesus in our life. What's the two greatest commandments, Jesus said? Now, these ain't hard questions, y'all. Come on, Andrew.
To love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor.
Amen. And he said if you do those two, all the rest of them are going to be taken care of, didn't he? All the rest of them will be taken care of. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. You're not going to rob from him. You're not going to do all those things that the Ten Commandments tells us to keep from. You know, what we're going to do is do what Christ tells us to do. We're going to walk and talk just like him by faith. And he gives us the faith. We don't even have to worry about that because God gives that to us. And when you see all hell breaking loose around you, we cry out to God. God, look, you see what's going on here? I can't handle it. I'm going to lay it on the altar. It's yours. and I'm going to step back and I'm going to believe that you're the one that's going to fix this for me. How many of you know when we try to fix things around us, we mess up? I can tell you I do. I've just had a big experience of that just this week. But you put that problem on the altar and step back and said, okay, Lord, I done found out I can't do nothing. It's up to you now. And that's what we do. We just believe God that he's going to do that. He's going to fix it. He's going to do whatever he does. He does his God thing and fixes it. But what our job is to believe that he is doing it. Praise God. And that's faith. We believe it, don't we? And we praise God for it from that point on. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to take care of that problem. I don't have to worry about it anymore because you got it in your hand. I've taken it out of mine and put it in yours. Amen. Okay, anyone else? That's what faith is. Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
I just got a picture of plumbing again. I don't know why I'm hung up on it. I said conduit of heaven earlier, but abiding in him, I thought of it as that flow that when we turn the valve of our life to crucified, we are abiding in him, and that flow turns from our power to his power. And when we recognize and we reckon ourselves dead unto the world, and that power, it's flipping that valve from our understanding and our power to supernatural availability in his mind, and it's abiding in him and his word. That crucified life is abiding in him, letting him live, getting out of his way.
Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Now, isn't our Lord now interceding for us 24/7? His words come out from him to the Father for us on a constant basis to fill that conduit to go to us and to act on this intercession that he has for us at all times. And you know, if you tap into that and you find yourself going into that to that prayer that he has for you on a 24/7 basis, then you have it made, don't you? And that's what we're striving for. You know, this morning when I went to work, I was sitting on the bus, And a Bible verse popped in my head that hasn't popped in my head for a while. And that was, honor all men, love the brethren, fear God. And I'm going to work, and I'm going to say, well, why is this coming in my head? Well, it must be, you know, God's just reminding me, you know, just like it says in the book of John there in 17:24. And that came to thought, you know, the Holy Spirit is gonna send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in his name. He's gonna teach you all things and remind you about all things. And I was going, well, he just reminded me about this right now, sitting here on the bus, you know. So I said, well, you know, what is honor in all men, you know? Well, I think that you know, a lot of people think honor and obey go together, but I don't. That's not what honor is, you know. You treat these people as if they're a prince or a royalty, you know, and you're honoring them, you know. And if you're going to do that and you're not going to really think anything bad about them. So I just go and get my coffee at the coffee shop, you know, and then just smiling at everyone. And everyone, you know, you sometimes walk into your workplace and someone will nod at you. So, and because, you know, I look into his eyes and I'm smiling as he's passing by, and then he would nod and I'd go, good morning. And it was just a nice thing to think about, you know. And of course, the fear of the Lord comes on you too, you know. And it was just wonderful. When you get some verses, you know, and then at work when I sat down and started drinking my coffee, I started thanking the Lord for these this verse and the other verses that he was given to me. And, you know, I was actually expecting to hope to meet someone, too, because, you know, if you're with a stranger, you might be entertaining angels unawares. You know, there's some earthly angels. There's some earthly angels here right now. I'm looking at all their faces. You know, you can speak something to someone's day, you know. And you can, just in the morning, you know, when they're off, you can speak just a nice, kind word to someone and it might make their whole day. And that's what I got out of it, you know, a nice high and a smile, you know. And it was really nice, you know, but this 24/7 that God's interceding for us, it just made me imagine what he's saying right now about us, about me, you know, about you, about your day as you're going on. What's he going to do tomorrow, you know, like when you're just going to work, going about your day, you know, and if something strange or out of sorts happens, you know, God's sovereign over everything anyway. So you're not saying what you're doing, Lord, here, but why is this happening? You know, like, have I done something wrong? Am I wrong with you? But why would I be wrong with him if I'm interceding? It also popped into my head, the imagination. I'm supposed to imagine myself someone as someone, you know? Who am I, you know? I'm supposed to imagine this person living in me. And it's sort of like, it felt like something coming off of me right out of my head there, you know? And I'm supposed to be a son of God, you know? I'm supposed to be his ambassador, you know? And it's just, you know, like, as she was reading what she read today and what George said, I was just thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ interceding for us constantly. You know, we have a problem to pray just a little bit, but look at our big brother here. Look what he's doing for us. Yes, he's in his glorified body, but thank God that he's doing that for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else? Abiding in Christ.
You know, I was working on my Christmas cards. And I only do these Christmas cards because you get that 1 year chance to write a little letter about the Lord. So I got my letter in there. It's telling them who they are supposed to be in the Lord, because I don't really think they know what they're supposed to be. I think they think they're just supposed to be forgiven. So I wrote my little letter to them all. You know, I put some four verses in there, you know, made it plain and simple. You got to really simplify these things.
Yeah.
And I just want the Lord to use that. I got another one to do, and then I'm going to go buy two more Christmas cards for my son and my daughter. Well, son-in-law and daughter and my son. And, you know, I have to get these cards out because December's coming, and they all like their December. Everybody's happy in December. Even the people who don't believe in God are doing Christmas. I have people at my work, oh, I don't believe in God. And then I go, but don't you go to the Christmas party at the office? Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of weird when you think of it that way. These people are very nice people. Like, they're very polite and everything, but, you know, they don't know God. Actually, the one I was just talking about there, she helped me quite a bit today on the computer at my work. So I just thank God for that. I hope the Lord blesses her in some way. You know, she's got two little children, and that she'd be blessed by by the help she gave me today to change my password, because they do that at the work where I work because they got hacked. And so they change the password every couple of months. And they did a dual way of getting into your mail so that they know you're the only one going in there. Anyway, so praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? My picture's froze. I ain't saying nothing till somebody else says something. Okay, Dave.
All right. I was working with the Lord on this. Remember the Tuesday, and I said, real desire, you know, to get to know the Lord. You know, that was the thing on my heart, to know him personally. Like, you know, not to be stranger, just know him by the word and know him by what we think we should be doing and by the Holy Spirit guidance, but just actually know him. Well, the next day, of course, when I got up and I got my e-sword, I study in the morning my scriptures. So I have it come up automatically at random. Well, he brought up the first thing. He brought me the Luke 24:13 on the two guys, the two disciples walking to Emmaus right after Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead. And he joins their conversation, you know, and he's talking to them. And I mean, that's the first thing Jesus brought me into this, first thing in the morning. And Jesus said, hey, what are you guys talking about? You know, why are you so sad? And they, of course, he said, where have you been? Don't you know anything? You know, he says, what's up with you? He's like, don't you know what's going on in Jerusalem? Are you a stranger here? And he says, what things? Jesus, kind of plain, you know. Well, hey, what? Tell me what's going on. So they go through the whole thing and talk about the crucifixion and, you know, everything Jesus went through. And, you know, and the woman went to the tomb and found it empty, and they went and told everyone about it. And then he jumps in. He says, oh, you foolish men, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then this was great. He says, and I shared this with the woman today, beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them this, all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. And that's the time we're thinking, geez, I wish I was there for that conversation. I'd like to have heard that. Everything he said, in case I missed something or I could just quick scribble it down, I'd have it all. Because he said he went through it all. And then, of course, they draw near to this village, and they urged him, hey, come on, stay with us, you know. And he went to stay with them, and they all sat down to eat. And so they sit down at the table, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them, it says, and their eyes were open, and they recognized Jesus. And then he vanished out of their sight. And they said, weren't our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us along the way, while he opened the scriptures to us? You know, there he was. And, you know, the disciples, and it was interesting. Somebody else, I think he brought this up with Andy Murray. Was it Andrew Murray? That he said, you know, Andrew was saying, well, geez, you know, here it is. Those disciples have been with Jesus for 3.5 years or so. Had been walking with him, got to know him really well, and yet they didn't recognize him when he was walking with him until he opened their eyes to see him. But here he is. He's talking to him right the way he's always talked to him. And they're just kind of like everything's burning up and firing up inside of them. And yet, and until he opened their eyes to see, hey, I'm talking to you, it's like, oh, my gosh, whoa, there's Jesus, you know. So it's kind of like, wow. This really happened. This is really happening. He just told us everything through the scriptures, and he just brought everything to our hearts, and we were just on fire, and there was just so much there to absorb. And so they went back and told the rest of the disciples what they experienced. And so that's the first thing he brought me to. And then the next scripture And I was just looking, thinking that over, because I, you know, just recently went through that on the teachings here with Michael and stuff. He brought me really a good one. And this is something you think about. The next passage you brought me to was Proverbs 23:26. He said, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways." My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. You know, if you're going to walk and be, abide in Christ and live and all your being will revolve around him, you have to give him your heart. I mean, you just gotta, you have to let it go. And you gotta, and if you don't know how to do that, you can, like me, you say, "Well, Lord, I don't know what you mean. Help me on that. I help me understand what it is to give my heart. I know what it is and maybe to like somebody and love somebody, but what do you want from me? How do I give my heart? Give me my, let me give, how do I give my heart to you? You know, what all, you don't quite understand all that encompasses, because that's quite a bit there, really. But he says, give me your heart. You know, everything about you, he wants you to just let go, you know. And then he says, when you do that, then you're going to let your eyes delight in my ways. You're going to see so much from me. Once you turn yourself over to me, then your eyes are going to delight in my ways. Everything about me and everything you need to know and all my law and my words and my actions in your life, your eyes are going to be full of delight. Full of delight. I thought that was pretty powerful, and I'm still dwelling on that because that really, you know, it hit me right in the face, both those things. So I just thought I'd share it. And I see how, you know, maybe you guys can get something from that too.
I mean, powerful statements that he makes, yeah. Praise God. All right, anyone else? On the thought of Jesus abiding in us, if we talk about self, this is out of Murray's other book, another book that he has, The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling. I read this the other day, and I've read it before, but it really struck home when I read it again, and it hit me. Now, what are the works of self? I could mention many, but let us take the simplest forms which we manifest continually. Self-will, self-confidence, self-exaltation. Self-will is first. Pleasing self is the great sin of man. Did you hear what he said? Pleasing self is the great sin of man. It is at the root of all compromising with the world, which is the ruin of so many. Men cannot understand why they should not please themselves and do as they will. Numbers of Christians have never gotten hold of the idea that a Christian is a man who is never to seek his own will, but is always to seek the will of God as a man in whom the very spirit of Christ lives. He says, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O my God." We find Christians pleasing themselves in a thousand ways, and yet trying to be happy, good, and useful. And they do not know that at the root of it all is self-will robbing them of the blessing. Christ said to Peter, Peter, deny yourself. But instead of doing that, Peter said, I will deny my Lord and not myself. Now, he didn't say it in those words, but Christ said to him the last night, thou shalt deny me. And he did. What was the cause? Self-pleasing. He became afraid when the woman's servant charged him with belonging to Jesus. And three times said, I know not this man. I have nothing to do with him. He denied Christ. Think of it. No wonder Peter wept those bitter tears. It was a choice between self, that ugly, cursed self, and Jesus, that beautiful, blessed Son of God. And Peter chose self. No wonder he thought, instead of denying myself, I have denied Jesus. What a choice I have made. And no wonder that he wept bitterly. Christians, look at your own lives in the light of the words of Jesus. Do you find self-will, self-pleasing? Remember this. Every time you please yourself, you deny Jesus. I'm going to read it one more time. Remember this. Every time you please yourself, you deny Jesus. It's one or the other. You must please him only and deny self. Or you must please yourself and deny him. And if you please yourself, then comes self-confidence. Let's talk about self-will first. Now, is that something that we do a lot of? Or what do y'all think about that? Those statements? I believe it. I believe self-will, pride, flesh is the sin of most men. Go ahead, Joe. Yeah, didn't you raise your hand?
Oh, okay. No, yeah, I was saying I agree with that one. Yeah. For that knife kind of going right there, you know, and that conviction. Or what you first said, Andrew, about smiling to people. And one of the reasons I decided to go home early today, I snapped at a coworker, one I've been having issues with for a while. This is another one, you know, and that just kind of finished me off there. Self-will. How do you deny yourself when just bitter, nasty people constantly come against you? You know, you try to be nice to them. Like you were saying, Andrew, you know, sometimes someone is going to, acknowledge you. You wave, hey, how you doing? Smile at them. Some people just constantly bitter, constantly just stay away from me. And you try to be nice to them and good to them. Or, you know, every time you're around them, you always got to watch yourself. And that's what this individual was. And I just lashed out at him pretty much. It's just, everything else was stirring up. And then here he comes right around me, you know, at the perfect timing, you know, the enemy knows what he's doing. And just kind of just lashed out him, you know, and just said, stay away from me, you know, something like that. You know, didn't really, I thought he said something to me, probably didn't, but you know, self-will. Lord help me to deny myself. You know, that's been the hardest thing is just to kind of, someone comes right at you, you know, they don't like you. And I know, it's probably Christ in me. Like you said one time, Michael, it's probably they don't like you because of Jesus in you, you know, and the demons in them, you know, make sure, you know, to let you know or to let them know. Yeah, this person stay away from him. So I can agree. I felt quite convicted. Like, I want to love people, you know, want to be graceful towards them more. So,
amen. Remember that video.
Yeah. That's another one. Yeah.
When they do that, Joe just say, I love you.
Yeah.
I just love you. Lord of God, you're such a fine fella. That will shake them to the core.
Same to me, and I'll start running for the door like, oh, get out of here.
I'll tell you. It'll work. Write self-will on your palm before you go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go ahead. who was it, Willie or Missy or somebody? Yeah, okay, Missy. I'll get you in a minute, Willie.
Jay, I was just sitting here thinking about, you know, the Lord was reminding me, I inherited a lot of generational curses as far as unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. And, you know, that the anger thing, I had an anger issue, quick tempered, you know, and years ago before I, you know, started getting on the outreach, the beginning of 2012, the Lord started showing me that I needed deliverance. And then once I started getting on the outreach and everything, you know, I got some deliverance and stuff. And the Lord showed me, you know, he just really convicted me that every time I snapped at my husband or, you know, or was angry or did whatever, my husband or my son or whatever, you know, that, I mean, even over the littlest things, you know, you may think it was little, you know, but I knew within me, you know, I had a little testiness there, you know, a little anger attitude or whatever. I apologize. And I remember one time saying to my husband, I must be the sorriest person that ever walked the earth, because every time I turned around, I was saying I was sorry, you know. But, you know, because the Lord showed me that and I humbled myself and I said I was sorry every time, you know, I can't say it was 100% of the time, but it was like at least 99, 45. Anyway. It just, the Lord, I overcame that, and that part of my flesh, in a relatively short time, considering how many years I lived acting like that, you know, especially in marriage and stuff. But so I just want to encourage you, you know. Hey, they may not receive it. You don't have to say a whole lot. All you have to say is, well, I'm sorry I had an attitude, or I'm sorry I was angry or whatever. And it doesn't matter if they accept it or they, you know, come back at you or whatever, but you better make sure that you're done being angry at them before you say it, because if they come back at you, they come back at you, you might want to come back at them again. But anyway, so I'm just that's been my experience, Joe, and just thought I'd share that with you.
That's true, Missy. Every time you say you're sorry, if you make it a point to apologize to them every time, just go to them and say, hey, man, I just want to apologize to you because yesterday I wanted to rip your head off and put it in your back pocket, but I'm just going to apologize to you for even thinking that. And I ask your forgiveness, you know. And the next time it'll get easier. The next time you won't be doing it, because you get tired of going over and telling you sorry. But you'll be humbling yourself. You know, you'll be humbling yourself. Now, God wants that in all of us. Okay, yeah. Willie.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, that's what I need most of all. But I guess that's pride, you know. It's like, oh, I want to tell that person.
Oh, it'll kill pride.
Yeah, I need to kill some of that in that area.
Yeah, well, praise God. Go ahead, man.
Just taking my time in case anybody else wanted to say anything. But, yeah. Part of Andrew Murray book, where one word caught my attention. Of course, I've listened to that book like probably three times now, but that word consent, you know, we know how to consent to marriage, you know, we know how to consent to the application, you know, for certain jobs, you know, we consent to certain things, you know, certain positions in life, we consent. You know, I just found that word just caught my attention. But it's so, we consent to marriage. You know, there's nothing there, you know, that's keeping a marriage together except for that you consented with one another. And it's just that, you know, giving God that consent, you know, and just, you know, letting go and then letting him do his thing, you know. You know, you consent to my love? Yeah, Lord, I consent to your love. I got no idea what it is, but I'm going to let you go and do your thing because I consented to it, you know. And if we would just look at, you know, our consentment like marriage to God, you know, it's a marriage. I'm just going to use the word marriage for right now because it's the best and strongest word I can think about. You're consenting, you know, consenting in everything, you know, the Lord showed me that, you know, we got to consent to everything. We got to consent to God's love. You know, I was sitting there, you know, when I was looking at Pete Cabrera. I like Pete. real cool guy, man. I really like Pete. And, you know, I was like, man, Lord, you know, I know that you told me, you know, that you'll have me doing this healing thing. I said, man, I just don't know when I'm going to do it. You know, I said, well, Lord, you know, but I'm not going to worry about it, you know. I'll just wait for you to tell me or wait for you to show me. And my question, you know, but my question was, you know, I kind of thought, you know, I wonder why I'm not doing it now. You know, it was kind of like that thought. And the Lord said to me, you know, and I know nobody would probably think this about me. But the Lord said, it's because you don't love nobody. And it was so true that I had to laugh. You know, he said, you tolerate people. He said, and it was like, it was like I had to laugh about it because when God tells you something, you can't argue with it, you know. You can't debate about it. But wait a minute, Lord, you know, hey. He says, no, you tolerate people. You're nice to people. You try to treat people fair, but you don't love them. And as soon as he told me that, you know, I agreed with it, you know. And I was like, you know, Lord, you're right, you know. And it's just the way he said it to me that made me laugh. Because it was like just having a conversation with me sitting right there. Jesus was sitting right there. And it was like, it's because you don't love nobody. Oh, you know what? You're right. then this joy came on me. This joy out of nowhere. This joy came on me, you know. And that this love came out. And, you know, I'm walking out of it, and this would happen on my break period at work, you know, and I'm walking out of my break room area, and I'm just like, oh, I love everybody, you know. And the Lord was like, he showed me another thing. He said, you do this. He says, you do this. This is the Christian. This is the sinner. And you can't discern how to love him. He said, I want you to just love them the same. And it got rid of all that confusion. And it was like, wait a minute, Lord, I can love them the same. You know, I could pray for them the same way. You know, I could believe for them the same way. I thought there was a difference. You know, I thought oh, Lord, this is a sinner. Oh, God, if you would just help them, you know. And we forget what God did for us, you know. You know, why not treat them the same? Why not pray for them the same way? Why not believe, you know, for them the same way as you would if you're praying for a brother in the Lord? And I had I don't know what it was. But when he removed it, this love just came upon me. And I'm walking around work, you know. Oh, I just, I love this person. Oh, I love this person too. I walk around and I just want to suddenly tell people, man, you know, I love you, man. I really do, man. I love you. And it's like, that's all I wanted to say to people. Like, hey, oh man, you know I love you. And it's like some of the worst of people. Some of the people who came out with the worst things out their mouth, you know. But yeah, and I just found it interesting, you know, just consenting, you know, to God. You know, that's all you got to do is consent, and, you know, he'll pour in all the rest, you know, and he'll do all those wonderful things that's written there in Andrew Murray's book, you know. There was something I wanted to say to you, Joe. And I totally forgot what it was. Probably it's meant for later. But yeah, that's all I got to say. I thought that was really cool, you know. It was kind of, it was really cool to find out that I didn't love anybody. I thought that was kind of awesome. I know that kind of sounds goofy to say, but to me that was awesome. I was like, wow, I don't love anybody. That is so true. Man, God, you're so right. You know, thank you. You know, wow, that was my block. I had this huge block and I could not figure out, you know, I was like, man. Because I'm looking at Pete and them and their videos and I'm just like, man, what am I missing? I just don't know what it is. And God's like, you don't love nobody. Duh! Yeah, but that's all I got to say. I thought it was pretty awesome, man.
Amen. Those revelations from God really hit us, don't they? Praise God. I can just see Joe walking around telling, I just love you. I love you so much. You know? I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to shake some folks up. That's good. Yeah, come on, Joe. Yeah, I can see Joe walking in there and say, come here, I want to tell you something. The guy, he's ready, boy. And then Joe said, I just love you. You think that wouldn't upset him? Come on,
possible,
Joe.
Is it possible to see in the spirit, take a look at my flesh right now and see how it's going to react? Yeah.
Well, hey, humble yourself and watch what happens.
Oh, it's quite humble.
He'll bless you, brother.
Yeah.
He'll bless you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I'll take another swing.
Go ahead, George. Get your shot in, bud.
Well, when Joe said, Lord, help me or whatever, I was agreeing that God is actually helping him. And that's the Lord, you know, the shortest prayer in the Bible was Peter walking on water. And he said, Lord, save me. And or he might have just said, Lord, save. But it's those short prayers that we take for granted sometimes that God is sending help and he's answering, and expect that what you know, don't be double-minded. You're getting what you're asking for. But besides that, I was taking some notes and thinking of how the word gives us clues sometimes. It gives us real simple, like faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, faith works through love. Now that faith that comes through hearing, that's knowledge of what God said to us, his promises, that's the evidence of the thing hoped for. Now how do we open the gate to get that thing that we are hoping for? It's through love. So it's like a flow chart. You say, do you have this? Yes. Well, proceed to the promise and receive. Do you not have love? Okay, well, you got to have love before you can go to, you know, it's a flow chart, basically, the way I'm looking at it. And I have to open all of these conditions for the promises. And if I'm in the way, then there's a word that tells me how I have to correct. You know, it's that chastening of the Lord. He chastens his sons with the word. He uses the rod of correction to get us straightened out so that we can live in his blessings. And I think about those fishermen who went back to their nets and how they went, just like flipping a light switch is the way I look at it, is they went from boats full of fish to becoming fishers of men. It was almost like it was prophesied, and that was the day it happened, because from then on the world knew them as those who had been with Christ. They knew they were simple fishermen, but they spoke with such wisdom and they had so much power that people recognized them from then on, not as fishermen, but as men who had been with Jesus. And when we think about Jesus and the confidence, the word tells us that Jesus was a sign, that Jesus was a seed. He was buried so that there could be a harvest of sons of God. And Jesus did not walk on the earth hysterical every time he saw a miracle. He had confidence in his Father, and the Holy Spirit cannot come without power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, and the same power that, the most powerful thing that ever happened was not the creation of the universe. It was raising Jesus from the dead and finishing the plan of God. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And it's those very simple little things in the Word that we try to bury with theology and men's agreement and every tradition. And if we'll hold on to those little nuggets and build on those and not let anybody take them away from us, then they're going to build on a new tradition, because they're going to be left behind wondering, how do we get some of that man-child anointing? How do we get in? How do we come alongside of the bride and get out of the curse? You know, there's going to be a lot of exodus out of these institutional churches because the traditions of men are dry bones. So, whatever it takes for us to get there, whether we suffer and have our character built, or we receive that chastening of the Word, God is helping us, and the Holy Spirit is the power of God. So that may have just all been notes for me, but I figured while I was writing them, I could share. I love y'all.
Amen. Good word. All right. He's right, Joe. This is all for you, bud. Amen. All right. Anybody else? It's for all of us, actually.
You know, I just love these words of encouragement. It just makes your day, you know. It builds you up. It's encouraging, and it's not anybody but the Lord doing it for us. And I just thank the Lord for it all. Oh, thank you, Lord. I can sit here all day and listen to people encourage me in the Lord. I just want it. I love it when it happens. Oh, thank God.
Thank you, Jesus. It is encouraging. Okay, anybody else? All right, listen to this. If you please yourself, then we'll follow self-confidence with its related forms, self-trust, self-effort, self-dependence. What was it that led Peter to deny Jesus? Christ already warned him, didn't he? Christ had already warned him. Why did he not take that warning? Self-confidence. He was so sure. Lord, I love thee. For 3 years, I have followed thee, Lord. I deny that it ever can be I am ready to go to prison and to death. Self-confidence. People have often asked me, why do I fail? I desire so earnestly and pray so fervently to live in God's will. And my answer generally is simply because you trust yourself. But they say, no, I do not. I don't. I know I'm not good, and I know that God is willing to keep me. And I put my trust in Jesus. But I reply, no, my brother, no. If you trusted God and Jesus, you could not fail. But you trust yourself. Do let us believe that the cause of every failure in the Christian life is nothing but this. I trust this cursed self instead of trusting Jesus. I trust my own strength instead of the almighty strength of God. And that's why Christ says this self must be denied. Is that something y'all can relate to? Self-confidence? Once you understand what self-confidence is, now, I'm just going to get out there tomorrow and I'm just going to show these folks how much I love them. But you have to put a disclaimer on there. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. We're going to do this. Me and Jesus. Anybody got anything you'd like to add? Yeah, Jim. Did you have something? Okay.
Well, I had a question that just kind of came to me, you know, and I had an opportunity today, but I didn't really take it. So I've had opportunities before. I have to wonder if this is fear or if this is in there with self-will, self-pleasure. A gentleman asked me today, one of the drivers, you know, he's one of the regulars. He noticed the way I was walking, or I guess, I mean, I was kind of in a hurry to go out and release one of the drivers I just loaded. And he said, you know, I noticed you kind of walk, you know, upright, you know, you're kind of moving fast, you know, and your back straight. And so, you know, about a month ago or so, you prayed for me, you know, and the Lord healed me. And I mean, he said, like, well, I think he said something else. You know, he said, I think years ago I did injure my back, and I think I just kind of fumbled through words. Like, I was like, well, I really don't know. You know, I felt like the flesh or whatever rise up and be like, don't you say it. Don't you say it. You know, don't you talk about Jesus. Would that be more fear, or would that be like, well, you're wanting to please yourself because you're not wanting to feel rejected or whatever?
Well, it sounds like rejection to me.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. Yeah, I kind of thought about that too. I've had opportunities when I was like, want to know how to word this the best way, you know. But yeah, of course, I mean, you just come out and say it. Hey, yeah, it was Jesus. He healed me. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It's a walk every day.
Yep. Yep.
And these times like this are very encouraging, should be very encouraging for you. And overcoming is a matter of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you when He prompts you to go ahead and do what you know to do, and that's when you do it. It takes the Holy Spirit with the power that He's given you. He's given you the power. Once it's over, and once you do it one time or two times or three times, you know, it comes a lot easier to tell people you're sorry and apologize to them for that. And just tell them, say, look, I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm learning how to be a Christian. I'm the Lord is walking me on this walk, and I just want to let you know that I love you, man, you know, and something like that. It'll soften them up, and you'll see a change in them as well towards you. Who was it? Pat talked about, you know, praying before he went to work every morning, and how it changed the lives and the people around him. And something you know you need to think about doing also. Okay, anybody else? Faith to faith and glory to glory, George said. Let's see.
Joe, my own experience has been that, and I've heard so many other people talk about it too, that in anything, whether it's coming out of a life of sin, having a bad language, you know, just the old man trying to rule over you, whatever, the enemy's biggest battle is to keep you from having your first success. Because when you finally overcome and you say the right thing, something's going to rise up in you that wants some more of that. It's taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
And when you are obedient, you're going to want to be more obedient, and you're going to climb out of that pit, and you're going to use those. It's like when they came through the water and they built an altar with the stones in the middle of the river there or whatever. When we have something to build our altar with, those stones of overcoming, the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, whether it's healing, praying for somebody, laying hands on somebody and just telling them all I'm doing is being obedient. The word of God says believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, we don't have to make apologies for God's word. We just, if we can be obedient in anything, the enemy is going to be losing harder and harder, and he'll eventually, the attacks will get less because we're going to turn the tables on him more often once we see that crucified life. And basically what you got when that guy talked to you was a lob softball for you to knock out of the park, and you're going to get more of those. Everything's a set-up deal, and God always causes us to triumph. He's using the enemy sometimes to let us get more victories. He's teaching us how to war and just put another lump on his head. So look at everything as an opportunity, even when we fail. When just the fact that we're having a mental discussion that, oh, I should have said this, that's keeping our minds on things of God. We're thinking heavenly thoughts, and you're gaining, you're already winning. The fact that you're even concerned, you're already winning. So I look forward to all those praise reports.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Joe, we love you, and that's why these things are coming out. I just love you, brother. I'm going to give you a big old hug when you get here. I'm going to, yeah. Oh, my. Don't eat so much next time, okay? I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Mr. T, is that what you said?
Yeah. Amen, brother. All right, anybody else? Powerful words of wisdom coming here. I enjoy it. I'm like Andy. I could listen to this for quite a while. Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody got a word? Did he go? Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. You got to unmute you. Hang on. Okay.
All right. All right. I just what's coming to me for Joe was sometimes just saying I'm sorry to someone. You might want to follow that with asking them to forgive you, because you're asking for a response. And sometimes what this is all about is even the Holy Spirit working on another person. You know, and so if you say, hey, about that thing yesterday, I'm really sorry, and then will you please forgive me, you know, and ask. So you to get a response back, and even if they deny it or turn you down, please, I'm sorry, but will you please forgive me? Put it back in. I just wanna. Amen.
Amen. Hey, man, that's good stuff. The third form of the works of self is self-exaltation, pride. How much pride and jealousy there is in the Christian world. How much sensitiveness to what men say of us or think of us. How much desire for human praise and pleasing men instead of always living in the presence of God with the one thought, am I pleasing him? Christ said, how can you believe who receive honor one of another? Receiving honor of one another renders a life of faith absolutely impossible. This self started from hell. It separated us from God. It is a cursed deceiver that leads us astray from Jesus. Finally, what must we do to get rid of it? Jesus answers us in the words of our text, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Note it well. I must deny myself and take Jesus himself as my life. I must choose. There are two lives, the self life and the Christ life. I got to choose one or the other. Follow me, says our Lord. Make me the law of your existence, the rule of your conduct. Give me your whole heart. Follow me, and I will care for all. Oh, friends, it is a solemn exchange to have set before us to come and, seeing the danger of this self with its pride and its wickedness, to cast ourselves before the Son of God, say, I deny my own life. I take thy life to be mine. And the reason why Christians pray and pray for the Christ-like to come into them without result is that the self-life is not denied. How can I get rid of this self-life? Remember the parable of the strong man who kept his house until one stronger than he came in and cast him out. Then the place was garnished and swept, but empty. And he came back with seven other spirits worse than himself. It is only Christ himself coming into our lives who can conquer the self-life. Remember the Apostle Paul who had seen the heavenly vision. Lest he should exalt himself, Christ sent a thorn in the flesh to humble him. There was a tendency to exalt himself, which was a natural, then it would have conquered Paul. But Christ delivered him from it by his faithful care for his loving servant. He took that thorn in the side, and it wasn't a physical thing. It was all of those times he spent out there in the ocean from a shipwreck, all those times that he got beat, all those, you know, that was that devil that was running around with him. It kept him humble, and he was one of the greatest writers of the New Testament because of it. Don't we want to strive for Christ-likeness and deny self? You know, it's something to meditate on daily, is to deny self and ask the Lord, help me out, Lord. It's a hard thing. Because, you know, if you've been raised up like most men have, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, boy, anything you get, you got to get it yourself. That kind of attitude from my generation anyway, you know. And it destroyed the Christ-likeness in us, took the meekness and the humbleness out of us. And put pride in there because of what we did instead of allowing Christ to do it. But once we get Christ, you know, we go in the Word and we look at this and say, oh, man, I'm supposed to be walking like Jesus. And then we get these sessions like this right here where it's helping all of us, not just you, Joe. It helps us all. Praise God. I enjoy it. I likes it. Knock the pride down. That's what took Satan out. Don't make God happy. That's the thing. We got to remember, you're not trying to make the people happy. You're trying to look good to Jesus. You want to go up, Jesus, I'm going to do this for you, because I sure ain't doing it for myself, because I don't want to do it. But I'm going to do it for you because I love you. I'm going to apologize to this guy. I'm going to go up and humble myself to him and do it because I love you. And Lord, I just thank you for being with me and giving me the wherewithal to do that. Oh, my glory to God. And just like, I forget who said it, but once you, I think it's Denny, once you say it once, then snap, it'd be easier the next time. Yeah, be easy. Oh, is that Andrew? It'd be easy. What does that mean? That's me. That's Missy.
Pointing towards Missy. I was like, you're the one who said that.
Missy's over here.
Oh, is she over there? Okay. I got her over here. Okay, she's over there.
Okay. Turn around and she'll be over here. See?
She's over here somewhere, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, Andrew's got a phone. Oh, Missy, you're running around, girl. Oh, my goodness, she's all over the place. All right. Anybody else got a word? Can y'all relate to what we're talking about tonight? How many of you prayed before we came on? Amen. I did too. I can tell it too. I can tell y'all prayed. Yeah, Missy.
I only prayed because somebody reminded me.
Amen. Amen.
But that's what we need. We need each other to remind
each other. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Okay. What else shall we talk about? Yeah, Joe.
I know it is difficult to explain myself, but I do enjoy, I thank the Lord every day for you fellowship, for the people I spend some time with that understand me. It's difficult to explain to other people to understand me. I'm not sure they think the same as me, but it's just a pleasure. It's so much, I'm looking forward to spend time, well, just listening most of the time, not talking too much, but it's awesome what the Lord doing for me through you people and listening, and the topics is so relevant to understand and to building me up. I'm just going to say thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, Joe. That's awesome. That come from the heart to praise you, Father. Lord, we ask that you bless Joe and Nora with somebody around them that'll come in and help them out with some good old fellowship, one-on-one. And we thank you, Lord, he's able to get on here with us, too. Joe, I'm going to give you a big old hug, brother.
Yeah, big old hug.
There you go. Amen. Yeah, we're going to give you one thing. We all give you a big old hug. Amen, because we love you. They do. I don't know if y'all know it, but they distribute out the books over in Africa. That's good. And do a lot of other stuff, too. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Well, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. Father, I just thank you for this great bunch of people that we've got in the outreach here. And I know the people out there that can't get on, but that they listen to it, Lord. I know that they're enjoying it, and they're learning, and their emotions are going just like ours. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in every one of us. Because when we all speak like this, even the ones that are speaking get a lot of that into them too. And Father, Thank you for maturing us, making us sons of God, like you said. Because one day we know that we're going to be walking, talking Jesus. We already are. And we thank you, Lord, that when the time comes, the glory's going to come down. The anointing, the former and the latter rain anointing is going to come in. The former rain in its fullest, I believe, is going to come in on the bride. And that's going to empower us. Take all the memory losses, take all the other stuff that we've been experiencing away from us. And we are going to be walking, talking Jesus is on this planet. We're going to be a light to a lot of people out there. Not to brag or anything like that, Lord, because it's all, like George said, it's all you, Lord. There's not going to be any first church of the burning bush or whatever. It's going to be Jesus and him alone. Lord, you're going to get all the glory because it's going to be real evident that it's coming from you. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the signs and wonders are going to be so awesome. People's lives are going to be changed all over this world. Not only that, Lord, revival is going to come in a mighty way, and people are going to grow up so quick because of this latter rain and this former rain anointing that you're going to put on us, Father. And the people, just like us, Lord, are going to just go out into the world, and nothing can stop them. Nothing until their ministry is over can stop them. And Father, we just thank you for putting in us that absolute surrender to you, Father. Make us that branch that's abiding in the vine, that bears a big cluster of 100 grapes, 100 fruit, Lord. I thank you and I ask that for all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. One last thing here. Does anybody got any prayer requests before we close out here? Well, we got we got 6 more minutes. Anybody got anything they'd like to relate? Any praise report? I feel God in here tonight. I feel like God's doing a work on all of us. Thank you, Jesus.
I can definitely say this did not feel like 2 hours.
No.
I looked over at my clock. I'm like, what the heck, huh? We only talked for an hour. What's going on?
I know.
I swear this don't feel like 2 hours. Uh-uh. Mm-mm. I still want to talk, man. I'm like, it ain't 10 o'clock yet.
What's going on here? You got the floor. 6 minutes. What are we going to talk about?
But, yeah, it just came out of my heart to say to you, Joe, you know, when you go up to that man, you ain't going to be by yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. You have the Lord with you. You have all of us with you, you know. So if that conscience tries to bring up anything, you know, I got the Lord with me. I got all my brothers and sisters with me, you know. I'm going to go and apologize to this man, you know. And, you know, look for it. Be excited about it. Look for awesome testimony from it, you know, whether if it comes from the apology or whether if it comes from what begins to happen in your own heart, you know. But, yeah, it's a good thing, man. It's a good thing that the Lord does stuff like that, you know.
Amen.
I'm going to eat my steak now.
What are you eating? Oh, man. Got a funny story. Brandy brought some apple dumplings. I don't know if y'all know what apple dumplings is, but apple dumplings is delicious fine. I'm telling you. Melt in your mouth, make you float up in the air like that dog eating that dog biscuit. Glory to God, I mean, it is awesome. And I was over at Walmart and I called the lady, is Amber, that had made that. And I said, what do I need to get to make that? Well, what she knew was the day before, I had made a statement to everybody in there. I said, don't bring no food for a month because we can't get another thing in the refrigerator. People bring us their food, you know. They bring us a dish here and a dish there, you know, and which is fine, you know. But me and David just can't eat quick enough to keep things down, you know. And the refrigerator stacks up and you got mold growing in the back, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I made the statement. I said, please don't anybody bring anything. I don't. Unless it's something to eat that like a pie or something like that, we can set on the counter. You know, I had to make that qualification. And I was in Walmart and I called him and I said, give me the recipe to that apple cobbler. Man, it was so good. And she said, Michael, I can't do it. She said, you made that statement yesterday and you said you didn't have any room in your refrigerator for nothing else. I said, Amber, don't mess with me. Don't make me come through that phone, girl. I said, I want that recipe. She laughed, but she gave me a hard time about that. But she finally gave it to me. You know what the recipe was? She said, that's an old family recipe I got off the internet. And it was. It's real simple. I'm going to make it tomorrow. I bought some ice cream to go along with it. So, praise God. Anyway. Lord, I thank you for a good time tonight. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I just love them, Lord. I ask that you love on them all night long tonight, Lord. And just give them all kinds of revelations of you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. And you're just going to love on them and hug them and carry them in your arms, Lord. And it's just going to be an awesome time with you, Father. I thank you, Lord, place it in our hearts to be praying and to interceding for each other and to be praying for Joe during his work time tomorrow. Father, I thank you for placing that in all of our hearts, just to be saying prayers for him during that time. And I thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in each one of us, because I know it's coming to fruit. I know I can see fruit coming out already. And Father, I just praise you for that. And Lord, we thank you for Andy Murray and some of the wonderful words that he has. He has a way with words, Lord. You gave him a way with words that he talks the scriptures. He might not necessarily quote the scriptures, but he talks the scriptures. And it makes it easy, and he's really to the point, and I just praise you for him, Father. Give him a hug for us while he's up there. And, Father, we thank you for that. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep. And protect us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, before we get off, I wanted to mention this one thing. If the Lord leads us to do that next Tuesday night, I'd like to get back into Ruth, okay? We like 3 and 4, I think. Isn't that right? 3 and 4, chapter 3 and chapter 4. So just think about it, pray about it. And see what we'll just see what happens Tuesday night.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Missy, for reminding me about that because I had, you know, we was having such a good time on here. I just forgotten about where we were. So y'all be blessed, and we'll see y'all. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Okay. Well, did that not unmute everybody? Yeah,
everything's good.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Good night, y'all.